This is an amazing opportunity for me. I do not take the fact that I am able to talk to people and give them my story and encourage people to accept the Lord in the ways that he wants you to accept him, because I am only an example that he wants me to show to other people. I started getting in trouble when I was 12 years old. Just a bunch of stupid stuff. First time I got locked up, it was for breaking windows out of a school on the last day of school. I still don't understand why I did that. Anyway, I went to the juvenile center, and my experience in the juvenile center was really kind of sad when I think about it, but it was something that I grew accustomed to over the years. It was the first time in my life that I actually felt taken care of. And years later, I would hear the term state raised, which was what I was. When I went to the juvenile center, it was the first time that I had stuck a toothbrush in my mouth or laid my head on a pillow to go to bed or laid on clean sheets or been able to change clothes or shower every day. That was my experience when I was a child. I became so accustomed to being locked up that I probably spent, well, I know that I spent the next 51 years of my life inside of prisons and institutions. I learned how to do time better than I learned how to do anything else. All the little tricks and games that people play in prison, I played those games. The first time that I went to an adult prison, I was 19 years old. And from that point on, I was never free for over 4 months at a time. And it wasn't that many times. I ended up doing a lot of time in prison. I ended up going to every institution in Indiana that would house offenders or criminals or people who was doing wrong. I don't even know how many times I went to prison. It didn't matter. I always knew that once I got out of prison that I was coming back. I knew that. Just as I knew and expected my next breath of air, I knew that I would return to prison because that's all I knew how to do. I spent a lot of time in segregation units while I was in prison for doing wrong even in prison. They have a way of punishing you in a way that there's only one way that you can get rid of that feeling, and that I learned late in life was through Jesus. I learned early on and didn't really believe in this God that I was talking to, but it was the only God that I knew and the only being that I knew I could talk to about anything. Even my closest friends did not know the conversations that I had with Jesus. When I was 27 years old, after bit after bit after bit in prison and every institution in Indiana, I used to wait on them to build a new prison so that I could go there. That's how empty and sad my life was. But like everybody else, prisoners tell a lot of lies. They try to impress people with what they have or what they had, even when they don't have anything. I did the same thing. I learned how to hustle in prison. I never got mail, never got visits in prison. I never had family. What I had was relatives. We all have relatives. I don't know how many of you have families. Families are people that do things together, that share things together, that experience things together and talk to each other and communicate and share life with. That is a family. Relatives are people that you have biological connections with through your blood. And that's what I had, was relatives. I didn't know them. I wasn't trying to know them. I didn't spend any time with them. I didn't do anything significant with them. Home was the last place that I wanted to be. At 27, I was convicted of being an habitual offender and given 38 years in prison on habitual offender and voluntary manslaughter. At the time, vehicular manslaughter, you could hit somebody with a car and kill them and get 8 years. I got 8 years and 30 for the habitual offender and thought I would never get out of prison. Didn't even care if I got out of prison. Over the years, I drew the attention of the federal government because I turned into a con man in prison. I used to lie so much, people used to ask me, "Why are you lying about that?" You know. I would lie just to lie. And then I started perfecting lies and writing letters. In these letters, I could be anybody that I wanted to be. I made a lot more money in prison than I could ever think about making on the streets. Had I been smart, I probably could have left prison with a few million dollars. But I didn't ever think I was getting out. While I was in prison, like I said, I did everything that prisoners do, including take the lives of a couple of people who I felt were disrespecting me due to my twisted perception of what disrespect really is. My out date turned out to be 2070. That was when I was scheduled to get out of prison. 2070. In 2010, I was given 18 years on a segregation unit, probably one of the worst segregation units I know in the state and probably in the country. It was called the Shoe at Wabash. I had 18 years there, and this is a segregation unit where you come out of your cell one time a day, 1 hour a day. The rest of the time you were in this cell. And while I was in this cell, this particular time in segregation, not the first and just one of many, I took a real good look at my life and myself and all the self-destructive decisions that I had made that had put me in the situation that I was in. And I got really, really tired. I looked at myself and I did not recognize who I had become. All I knew is that I didn't like that person. I didn't like that person or the things that that person did, and I didn't know how to change that. Something told me to start reading the Bible, and I started reading a book that I didn't know anything about. And it was confusing. It was so confusing that it drew me to it, because I didn't want to feel like I had failed to do something that I wanted to do. And I continued to read this Bible, and somewhere along that journey of reading this Bible, I decided to pray and didn't know how to pray. And something just told me, just talk to God. And so I started talking to this God that I did not know, this God that I had cursed in my life, this God that I had disrespected in every way that you can disrespect a God. I ended up on my knees and I asked this God not to get me out of prison, but to just make me a person that he wanted me to be. Let me be the person that you want me to be, that you made me to be. That's all I want. Somebody that I can feel good about. I don't know how long I prayed. I know that when I got up off of that floor, I was not the same person that had went down and started praying. I don't really know what happened. I don't know about the transition. I don't know about the Savior. I didn't know about any of that. But that 18 years that I had on the shoe turned into 1 year. And in a year, I was released into general population on probation. And they told me that if you mess up again, we're going to send you back to the shoe and you're going to die on the shoe. When I got in population, all of my so-called friends were glad to see me because I was that guy that made things happen in prison. I started going back to court where I had already years previously exhausted every means of state and federal remedies as far as getting out of prison. They called me back to court and they told me that the state had made a mistake and they were going to take some time from me. They were going to reduce my time. And they did, but it didn't really matter that they had just took 10 years off of my sentence. My out date was still 2060. Over the next 3 years, I went back to court twice. And when they got through taking time, I could actually see myself getting out on the streets, and it scared me. It scared me because my past had been, yeah, you're going to get out, but you'll be back. I didn't know what I was going to do. All I had was some money. I didn't know where my relatives were at. Really didn't care. I said, well, I have to do something. And at 63 years old, I got a GED. The next 6 months, I spent taking a course that gave me a certificate that would allow me to get a job once I got out. I was afraid. I was afraid because I didn't know what I was going to do. In May, on May 13th of 2013, after serving 39 years, 9 months, and 16 days straight, I was released from prison. And I was overwhelmed. When I had left the streets, they didn't even have a cell phone. I paroled to the Jesus House because I didn't know where else I could go. I didn't know anybody. The Jesus House is an aftercare facility. I'm sure you've probably heard of it. It's the best place that I've been to in my life. Six months after I got out, I got the first job that I had ever applied for in my life. Working for $6 or $7 an hour at Wheeler Mission, and I was so happy. Two years later, and I had told guys, there were certain things that I had read in the Bible that I believed because they were self-serving things, things that I needed to happen in my life. I do believe that whatever you ask for, you can have it. If you are sincere, if you are true to God, He will give you much more than you could ever imagine or dream of getting. I have been out of prison since May 13th, 2013, and I have not been broke one day, not one day since I've been free. I drive a brand new car every 2 years. I don't tell you this to brag on myself or boast because it ain't about me. It ain't about me. And there's a song that is out and you should listen to it. It's called "It's All God." While I was at the Jesus House, the biggest thing that I was thinking about is, well, I'm going to have to leave here sooner or later. I'm not going to stay here, you know. Everybody wants their own place. I said, well, I'll get me a little apartment, you know. Furnish it. Be comfortable there. In June of this year, I closed on a $190,000 three-bedroom home built from the ground up. I didn't do nothing to get that. I definitely don't make enough money to get that. I don't even know what I'm going to do with a three-bedroom home. Ain't nobody there but me. Ain't nobody there but me. This song that I was talking about, it's one phrase in it that says, if I was just anybody, I would say it's all good. But I know better. It's all God. I'm a supervisor at Wheeler Mission now, and I'll probably be working there until I can't work anymore. It's a very challenging job. Part of my life is prison ministry. I love it. I love it because I can relate to the people in prison more than I can to anybody else, because that's where I spent 51 years of my life. I encourage anybody. You know, a lot of times we tell people, hey, man, you just don't know what I'm going through. Well, let me tell you something. There's not nobody living that's not going through something, that's not been through something, that's not going to go through something. Not nobody. Everybody is going through something. It ain't what you go through, it's how you come out of it. You have to believe that what you want in life, you have to speak it. You have to speak whatever you want into existence. That is part of having faith. That is part of faith. And you can be the best Christian in the world, but if you ain't got no faith, you ain't pleasing God at all. And if you ain't pleasing God, you're wasting your time. I got books to write. I got a lot of stuff to do. And I'm 70 years old. I don't wake up with no aches and pains. I don't wake up with no worries. I don't do none of that. I don't do none of the stuff that I used to do. And my whole life has changed because of God. Everything has changed. Everything has changed. The only thing that hasn't changed is my job. And I don't want it to change because I am serving God working at Wheeler Mission. It is so challenging every day. All types of problems, all types of worries, all types of addicts. People that the world is giving up on. I have never been addicted to anything but stupidity. I've never had a drug habit or been an alcoholic and won't even pretend to know what they go through. What I do know is that I have seen and I know people that have been addicted to drugs and alcohol and imprisonment and bad decisions. I don't think there's nobody in this room who knows anybody that they have told everything about themselves. I don't care what you did. I don't care how bad you think it is. You don't have to worry about what Bob or Joe or Susie or Miss Ann thinks about it. You can talk to God about it. He's not going to judge you. He's going to love you. He's going to embrace you. He's going to give you enough wisdom to make it through whatever you are going through in a way that will make people look at you and want to be something like you. I miss going into prisons. I miss going into the juvenile center. But it's a lot of people around that need to hear your story. And they're everywhere. You don't have to go far to find them. There's a lot of people that need somebody to listen to what they have to say. It ain't so much as about what you are saying. Try to listen sometime. You can learn a lot just by listening. You ain't got to say a word. So, I don't know whether everybody in here are Christians, whether or not you have made the decision to give your life to Christ. I know one thing. If you anything like me, and I've trusted a lot of people, why not trust God? Why not trust God, turn your life over to God, and let him fix it? Because that's part of his business. That's what he does. The miracles that you hear about God doing in other people's life, he wants to do the same thing in yours. And if you have never seen or witnessed or experienced a miracle, you have heard and seen one tonight, and that is me. I love Jesus because that's all I know how to do now. I love him because he shows me. He don't just tell me. He shows me that he loves me. I don't deserve anything that he's doing for me, but he feels I do. I got a revelation this morning that and I never looked at it like this. I always separated the two, but God gave his only begotten son to save us. That's our brother. Jesus is our brother. Whether you want to accept that or not, that's what it is. He will change your life. He will take away everything that's wrong. And that's not to say that you will not suffer or struggle or go through things, because you will. But if you know what's on the other side of it, you'll keep on pushing. You'll continue to ask God to help. And know that your prayers are not falling on deaf ears. Because he is in the midst right now. He is in the midst of all of us right now. And he is listening. And he knows your heart. You can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool him. Don't even try. Just embrace it and love him. And that's my testimony. Thank you very much.